I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, including all you out there who are watching and listening, streaming on the internet. This morning, our brother D.A. preached about knowing the Father, and he preached out of the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of John, and this sermon is kind of an extension of that. It's about a father's love, the father's love, and I'm going to start in first book of John, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, look, notice, give attention to, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And I just want to pause there for a second, because this is our goal, to be the obedient children of God, to love him as he loves us. As my brother Dan was introducing me, I was glancing around the room, and I saw our brother Benjamin Seibel kissing his mom on her head. With this respect and love, she loves him. And because of it, he loves her. And that's how that relationship is with our Heavenly Father. Because he loves us and has loved us and has communicated that love towards us in the form of his Son, all that he did for us, we love him. Mosiah chapter 11, verse 187. And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters. And thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So we see that the world doesn't know the sons and daughters of God, because the sons and daughters of God are changed from their carnal state. Those who are of the world are still in their carnal state, led by the evil desires of their heart. And my intent in going over these scriptures is not to make us feel good that we have been baptized or we've been baptized correctly, but to evaluate where our hearts are now. Are we still in our carnal state? Are we still being led around by the evil desires of our heart? These sons and daughters of God are new creatures in a state of righteousness. They are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. They are full of life, and the light of Christ is in them. They are prepared to witness to those who are seeking God. See, those who are out in the world, who are led by the evil desires of their heart, they won't know the sons and daughters of God. But those who are out there in the world who have tasted of his love or have learned something about him and who are beginning to seek him, if we are the sons and daughters of God, they will recognize us as such. Unless we become the sons and daughters of God, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and we cannot witness of Christ. Alma chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. For behold, the time is not far distant. And this scripture is in a time before Christ came. So it's looking forward to that time that Christ should come. And it's a people that are on this land, not in the land of Jerusalem. God has given them the knowledge and understanding that their Messiah should come, but they don't know exactly when they'll get to see him, but they know they'll get to see him and hear from him and learn of him. And it says, for behold, the time is not far distant that the Redeemer liveth and cometh among his people. Behold, I do not say that he will come among us at the time of his dwelling in his mortal tabernacle, or when he's on the earth. I don't know that he'll come to our people. For behold, the Spirit hath not said unto me that this should be the case. Now, as to this thing, I do not know. But this much I do know, that the Lord God hath power to do all things which are according to his word. And I can imagine that Alma here has this hope that Christ will come among them and that his people will be taught by him. Verse 17, but behold, the Spirit hath said this much unto me, saying, cry unto this people, saying, repent ye, and prepare the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths, which are straight. So God's telling Alma to prepare the people, to repent, to turn from those evil desires of their hearts, to be changed by God and his word. Verse 18, for behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this is this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. So this so describes that love of the Father, the title of this sermon. That Christ came down, that he suffered pains and sicknesses of us, that he might loose the bands of death, which kept us from the resurrection. Verse 22, and he will take upon him their infirmities, and that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor those his people according to their infirmities. He took upon him our temptations, everything that we've ever been tempted with. He took upon him that he might help us when we're tempted, that he might give us a way out, that he might give us hope, In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And Hebrews 2:18 says, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." In other words, he's able to give us a way out. He knows every trial and temptation we've been faced with. And he's able to guide us to that way of escape. We have that hope that we don't have to fall to that temptation we've fallen to over and over, but that he will guide us out of it the next time. Continuing in Alma 5, verse 23, "Now the Spirit knoweth all things. Nevertheless, the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions. The thought just came to my mind, hallelujah, praise him. We had no hope. We had no hope until Christ. But because of him, our sins can be forgiven. Our transgressions can be blotted out. We can be delivered, freed from every sin we've committed. Often, you know, the devil will try to take us back there. You haven't changed. You're the same. To try to get us back. But we're free. We are free. "And now behold, this is the testimony which is in me. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again. For the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven." You know, going back to those trials that we're faced with today in our Bible study, after all our reading through 2 Chronicles, I think we were in 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapters 10. But anyway, as we were reading through all of this, the message that came to my mind was seek him. Seek him. When you're in the midst of chaos and trial and struggle and you don't see any way out, and the ways, you know, that the world has taught us, you know, different concepts and counsel of the world, we may have tried them and we didn't go to God. Seek him in the midst of those trials. Seek him when you're in despair. Seek him when you're in joy and success. Seek him all the time, every day. Verse 25, "Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance." And I want to stop here, you young people and older people who haven't been baptized. It all starts there. It starts at repentance and turning from yourself and your own ways and trusting in him. Believing in him enough to do what he said, because he said it, and he's your creator. He created you. He knows what will bring you joy. And so he commands us to be baptized because he knows what's good for us. And Alma here says, therefore, come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins. That's the first step to being washed from our sins. Are you so down, depressed, sad? There's a way out of it. There's hope. There's freedom. And it begins with repentance and baptism. Therefore, come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. There it is again, from every sin, from all unrighteousness. He is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say, that doesn't say we're able to correct ourselves or change. No, he is able. He is mighty to save us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not. Don't worry about what people are going to say about you afterwards when you've made these changes, and it's evident. Don't worry about where he's going to send you when you've given your life over to him, what he's going to use you to do. Don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about the battle you're going to get from the devil when you decide to follow God. It says, yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. I want to go back there, because that's what sin does. It binds us to destruction. If we continue in it, if we allow that temptation to play around in our minds, it will bind us down to destruction. So he says, lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you. Put it away. Resist it. Turn from it. Yea, come and go forth and shew unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins and enter into a covenant with him to keep his commandments and witness it unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. So young people, older people who have not been baptized, this baptism represents a promise between me and God that I will keep his commandments. And we can only do it through him, with his strength. We can only do it on his merits. We can only do it in the hope that he has given us, through the faith that he gives us. Verse 28, and whosoever doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God from thenceforth, the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life, according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. Our brother Stephen Kimball in May preached a sermon, Why Do We Make Our Beds? And so he asked the crowd, why do we make our beds? And there were different answers. And I was attracted to this this sermon because I just got through listening to an audiobook, Make Your Beds, and it was by a military. It was by the I'm sorry, I don't know my military offices. I think he was a lieutenant. I can't remember. Anyway, he was the one in charge of the operation where Osama bin Laden was killed. And he talked about making your beds every morning so that you can have this accomplishment out of the way. Do it and do it well. Well, so Brother Stephen Kimball had this sermon, Why Do We Make Our Beds? And that was one of the things mentioned, was that it's the first accomplishment of the day and we can build on accomplishments and we can have successes all day by starting out making our beds. But our brother Stephen Kimball's message was, we do it because our Father said so. And I thought about that and I thought, you know, seems like I've heard when our kids say, well, why do I have to do that? And our response shouldn't be, because I said so. And our brother Stephen Kimball's message here was, we should do what God said because he said so. And as I thought about that, he said so because he knows what's good for us. He knows what will bring us joy. And I thought, you know, this is kind of a side point, but I might start saying that more often, because I said so. Because I want to teach my children to obey God because he said so. And I understand we need to give our children explanations as well, that there's reason behind the words that we say. And God told us so as well. He told us the reasons. But we should be willing to be obedient because he said so, out of that respect that he is our creator and that he has a good desire for our souls. Moroni chapter 7, beginning in verse 20. Not seeing something I thought I had there. Let's see if I find it down here. Okay, it's in another place. I apologize. Okay, and now this is Moroni chapter 7, verse 20. And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak. I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. Okay, I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to go back there. So read this verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? Dan said that's what it says. I'm not sure I believe it. I mean, I know that's what it says, and I know it's true. But do I always act like I believe it? I know I don't. I know that I don't go into certain situations with the confidence that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There are times in my life that I have need of greater faith. It reminds me, I can't even remember who said it. Help me in mine unbelief. Who said it? Anyway, I believe, help me in mine unbelief.
It was a man asking for Jesus to bless his son.
Okay. A man asking for Jesus to bless his son. But that's my feeling. I know I have greater need of faith because I should be able to face any situation knowing that he's going to perform in me whatever needs to be performed, do in me, give me strength to do whatever it is he wants me to do. Faith. Moroni 7, verse 20. And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak, and I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold of every good thing. Do you want to do that? Lay hold of every good thing? I do. For behold, God knoweth all things, being from everlasting to everlasting. Behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. He sent angels to tell people that Christ was going to come. And in Christ, there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were diverse ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which were good. And all things which are good cometh of Christ. So there were different ways. Different ways that he told men and women things, which were good. And all things which are good cometh of Christ. It reminds me of and I mention her over and over, but it's such a blessing to me that we have a sister that was visited by an angel of God. You know, it was in a pretty strange way. Visited her 5 different times in different places, 1 time at her work, 1 time on the streets of Merida, in the church. Rather different, rather strange, but it was good. And all things which are good come of Christ. And he gave her a message to her family and to the church. So God manifests himself through prophets, through angels, and in different ways, diverse ways. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after he came, men were also saved by faith in his name, and by faith they become the sons of God. So there's another attribute of the sons and daughters of God, faith. And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name. So this is for sure. This is certain. Christ said this. And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good. So if you ask God to forgive you of your sins, if you ask God to help you get over this temptation that you can't seem to be victorious over, if you ask God to help you to be a good example to your children, to be a good father, to be a good mother, if you ask God to help you to obey your parents, if you ask God to help you be the person he created you to be, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased because that Christ hath ascended into heaven and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men? And of course, the answer is no. Miracles have not ceased. He is the same today as he was yesterday. Verse 28, for he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. There's a way we can know if we have faith in him. If we don't cleave unto every good thing, then we lack faith. I lack faith. I need more faith. We need more faith. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. He advocates our cause. He wants us to have faith. Ask. We can ask for faith. We can ask for anything that's good, and he'll give it to us. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. So we should be asking, and we should be seeking. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Think about that. If you think about when your children ask you for something that's good, and you give that to them, that's how much our Father giving our Father has much greater love than we have and will give us so much the more if we ask him. Gives us motivation to ask him. So, Ephesians 2 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So if you don't have faith, if you need more faith, recognize that it is a gift of God, and God gives good gifts to his children. Ask. It says we're saved through faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he's given us these commandments to walk in good works. He set the plan for us. And he's given us the way, his grace. We can't we can't do anything good without him. We can't feel free to live and to do the things that he's commanded us to do unless we have been forgiven first. And we have been cleansed of every sin, of all unrighteousness. And we have released that to him and are a new creature in him. And then we can perform those works that he's called us to. Hebrews chapter 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I think about my failures. I think about how down I can get with myself because when I'm disobedient. And his word teaches me that guilt, that horrible feeling inside that I've done wrong, that he gives that to me out of love. Out of love, so I'll change, so I'll turn, so I'll repent. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, in other words, if you allow it to work in you repentance, if you allow it to cause yourself to decide, I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of the consequences. I want to change. And you submit yourself to him to make that change. And you seek him till he's found. You ask until he answers. You don't give up. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, we all receive that chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons. So it's telling us, we do have parents, we're not bastards. We do have a father. And he loves us. And that's why he chastises us. So we'll turn. So we'll follow that hope that we have, so that we'll have faith in him, so that we'll feast upon his words, so that we'll ask, so that we'll believe, so that we'll allow his spirit to work and move in us and guide us. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, rather than the fathers of and the mother of this body, our heavenly, our spiritual Father, who created us? Shouldn't we be in obedience to him? For they, our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. He wants us to gain. He wants us to grow. that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's the goal. That's the end sum. That's where his chastening leads us to. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, and it's not, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I want to go back to that where I was talking about his chastening and how grievous it is sometimes. It's the recognition, the grieving, the godly sorrow that we have failed again. And nevertheless, after it yieldeth, afterward, this chastening yieldeth. If we allow that godly sorrow to lead us to repentance, that turning from ourselves to him, that seeking him with all our hearts, then that seeking him with all our heart will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It will, if we continue to seek him, seek his word, feast upon it, cry out, take time out for that relationship, for that communicating with him. So I'm going to read this verse over. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And that word exercised means continual practice. Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. The beginning of this chapter talks about us looking to Jesus, who was faced with the trials of his murder, death on the cross, lest we should be weak, and to have faith in his merits. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which makes straight paths for your feet. I'm as I read that, I'm thinking that feasting on God's word, considering before the day even begins the possible trials we might be faced with or the temptations, preparing ourselves for that moment by prayer and by the word of God. Moroni chapter 7. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen.